Today we begin a three-part series on Halliburton, the U.S. government, and the rebuilding of Iraq. The Texas Oil Services Company has come under intense scrutiny over its multi-billion-dollar reconstruction contracts. Critics in Congress want to know if Halliburton is engaging in gold-plating those contracts, inflating costs, and pocketing the difference. And there have long been questions about the company's relationship with the government in which the vice president, Dick Cheney, is a former Halliburton CEO. Well, today, in the first of our series, NPR's John Burnett examines the work in Iraq of one of Halliburton's subsidiaries, KBR.
On the wall of the Global Operations Center of Kellogg Brown & Root at its Houston headquarters hangs a large laminated map speckled with red dots. Dan Kent is project manager for the Houston Support Office.
We have a procurement office in Turkey. We have a procurement office in Dubai. We have multiple locations in Kuwait and a large number of locations in Iraq.
America's war on terrorism has created a windfall of business for KBR, as it's called. Wherever the military goes, KBR is there. Since 9/11, the company has constructed base camps at more than 60 locations throughout the Middle East and South Asia.
The Kabul area, site 3 is Kandahar. We do work in Djibouti.
Even for a huge global corporation like KBR, the contracts are staggering in their scope and dangerous. In the past 6 months, 4 employees and 6 subcontractors have been killed, with some 30 wounded. Chuck Dominey is Halliburton's vice president of government affairs and a retired 3-star Army general.
You've got to understand that when you're running 46 dining facilities feeding 200,000 people a day, 34 laundries, 60 morale, welfare, and recreation centers, over 2,000 drivers on the road on any given day in a variety of different convoy situations. The potential for a headache a minute is there.
There's urgency in the air here at KBR headquarters. Young men mill outside the recruitment office, some of the 500 new hires every week, many of them former military. Dollies laden with new computers clatter down the hallway on their way to an air freight depot. Ken Drowling is the beleaguered purchasing supervisor in the Houston office.
I just got a heads up on something. I just came across email where 38,000 sets of linens to include 19,000 blankets, 38,000 sets of curtains with rods, and we plan to buy that out of Houston.
Brown & Root has been authorized to spend more than $5 billion in its shopping spree for the U.S. military on the largest logistics contract in its storied history. According to the company's latest quarterly report, the profit margin on military services was 3.78%. Typical defense profit margins are 7%, so with a pre-tax margin under 4%, a company has to be efficient, says James Wickland. He follows Halliburton as an energy industry analyst for Bank of America's securities in Houston.
Those are considered razor-thin margins. And razor-thin margins don't lend much forgiveness to operational screw-ups.
Military contracting is a small part of what Halliburton does, from drilling deep-sea oil wells to building a Grand Prix racetrack. The $17 billion company employs more than 90,000 people in 120 countries. But Iraq has become an important profit center, especially with last week's announcement that the company will pay a $4 billion settlement and seek bankruptcy protection for asbestos liabilities. The Iraq contracts netted $900 million for the quarter. That's 15% of the company's operating income. Peter Singer of the Brookings Institution is the author of Corporate Warriors, The Rise of the Privatized Military Industry.
It's pretty nice to get a contract where you have a guaranteed profit, no matter what happens. Secondly, we're talking about multi-billion dollar contracts, so that guaranteed profit margin turns out to be quite nice.
The Iraq contracts are cost plus. The government reimburses Halliburton for its costs, then adds on a profit of 2-7%, depending on the company's performance. Critics say this creates a perverse incentive. The more they spend, the more they make. The Pentagon asserts this type of flexible contract is necessary in a war zone. Steve Schooner served in the White House's Office of Federal Procurement Policy under Bill Clinton.
You could work on a multi-billion dollar aircraft program and lose money. KBR will not lose money on the log cap contract. War is very good business if you have the log cap contract.
Under the log cap contract, a tortuous Pentagon acronym for Logistics Civil Augmentation Program, KBR is the go-to company to provide the troops with everything from porta-potties to internet cafes. 4 years ago, under an earlier LOGCAP contract, the company built the mother of all privately contracted bases, Camp Bondsteel in occupied Kosovo. With steak and ice cream for supper and latrine cleaning three times a day, the troops loved it. But the General Accounting Office was less impressed and scolded the Army for its poor oversight of Halliburton's spending. And that's the problem, according to Jack Gansler, former Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisitions from 1997 to 2001. He says the Pentagon could learn a thing from regular folks.
I mean, if you just said to your architect or contractor, here's, $200,000, build me a house, and then you come back in 6 months and see what the house looks like, you'd supervise it.
But the military has a spotty record of supervising private contractors. A case in point, in the mid-90s, Brown & Root was hired to convert military bases across the country to civilian uses. On one such job, at Fort Ord, California, a whistleblower revealed that Brown & Root had inflated the cost of building materials and defrauded the government. Brown & Root agreed to pay a $2 million fine, but admitted no wrongdoing. Based on his investigation, the attorney for the whistleblower, Dan Schrader, concluded the company was quite sophisticated in how it fooled government auditors.
Many times, the agency, in this particular case, the Corps of Engineers, is either understaffed or does not have the manpower to fully oversee the project, and they depend in large part on the contractor to, in fact, deliver what they promise. And so it's very difficult for the government to catch all of these overcharges.
There are signs that Pentagon auditors, with Halliburton in the hot seat, are being more hard-nosed this time around. 2 weeks ago, they accused Halliburton of overpaying a subcontractor as much as $61 million for gasoline bought in Kuwait and trucked into Iraq. Responding to a report that Halliburton was actually under pressure from the U.S. Embassy in Kuwait to buy more expensive Kuwaiti gasoline as a favor to a Middle East ally, a company spokesperson said today that Halliburton had been directed by the Defense Department to buy the fuel in Kuwait. Halliburton's Chuck Domine continues to defend their management of the fuel contract as efficient and economical.
You know you've done the best possible job. And to somebody to say that somehow we are price gouging, or to somebody to say somehow that we are trying to benefit from the vagaries of this war, those are very, very pejorative terms, and they bother people that know they're being highly professional about what they're doing.
Halliburton's international contracts have been called into question before. In the mid-90s, the corporation was fined $3.8 million for violating a trade embargo against doing business in Libya. And today, certain shareholders are asking the company to explain its oil field services business in Iran, which is being conducted by a Halliburton foreign affiliate. A company spokesperson points out the foreign affiliates of its U.S. competitors are also in Iran. Jim Moorman, president of Taxpayers Against Fraud, tracks private contractors who are sued by whistleblowers, and he says Halliburton does not have a reputation of defrauding the government.
You might think of Columbia HCA, or you might think of Lockheed Martin, but you're not going to think of Brown & Root, and certainly not Halliburton. I mean, they don't have to commit fraud. If you've got a sweetheart contract, why do you have to cheat?
Halliburton has what appears to be a super sweetheart deal, but military contracting experts say the reality is quite a bit more complicated. John Burnett, NPR News.
Tomorrow we'll hear how Halliburton landed the most lucrative military logistics contract in history.